Okay, we are ready for another session of Greek Club. Last one of the school year and you get a sub, so we'll do our best. Dr. Gibbs said you had read up to verse 23 in chapter 1 of Galatians. I should start there. Hopefully that sounds right. So let's do that. To remind us what we're doing here, Paul is rehearsing his early history of his career for the sake of the Galatians, especially then in answering the questions, where did his ministry come from, where did his gospel come from, and so on. Verse 23 then, manon de akuantes eison, hoti ha di okon hemas, pote nun euangelidzitai tain piston hain pote aporthe. And here you see the akuantes with the imperfect form of ami really gives you the equivalent of the imperfect of akuo. Grammarians seem to differ in their opinions on whether there's any difference in force to this at all. In this case, I can't detect any. It's just another way of expressing the imperfect action. Whether it puts a little more emphasis on the activity of hearing, that's possible, but here you have manon, which is really doing that. In this case, it's used adverbially rather than as an adjective. So it's emphasizing that they were doing nothing other than hearing this report. So it's not they alone were hearing it, but they were only hearing this one thing. So then the verse begins, but they were only hearing, and then haughty here gives the content of the report they were hearing. They were only hearing that ha diokon hemas pote, that the one persecuting us, pote is here formerly, sort of at one time. You can tell it's in the past because it's contrasted with the nun, which immediately follows. So here you can see that this is given really in direct discourse here. The one persecuting us formerly, now, nun, euangelizetai, is, now we usually want to say evangelizing or preaching good news, but remember sometimes this verb will take a separate object to give the content. So here, the persecutor is now proclaiming the faith, and then you see a nice sort of almost a miniature inclusio here, the faith hain, the relative pronoun there, which pote aporthe, which he was formerly trying to, again in the imperfect there, annihilate, destroy completely, sort of eradicate maybe would be a good way to translate it here. So again, putting it all back together. But they were only hearing that the one persecuting them formerly was now proclaiming the faith which formerly he had been trying to eradicate. And then 24, giving the positive conclusion to it all, kai edoxadzon en emoi ton saon. Doxadzo here in the imperfect. You can see that throughout the sentence he's using imperfects to describe a state of affairs that continued then for some time. And they glorified or praised or extolled the en amoi. It's easy enough to translate, but exactly what is the relationship here? Tantha on the accusative is clearly the object. They were praising God. Praising God in me. Longnecker says that here the end suggests the ground or basis of the action. Because of Paul they were praising God. He gives several parallels from Paul. I think you can also see parallels here, of course, with John 17, with Jesus speaking about the Father being glorified in Him. And there I think it has more of the idea that you can see the glory or the greatness of one person in another. So you don't praise the other one as great, but the one to whom the glory belongs. And either way, I think you can see that working here, that through Paul they could see the glory of God, and so they praised him for that, praised God for that. Okay, then chapter 2. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, is it unusual in kind of indirect speech to have, you know, the one persecuting us rather than the one persecuting them? I mean, it seems like all of a sudden that's kind of what we say in direct speech.
Yeah, I think it is direct here. So the haughty should probably just be considered the marker for direct discourse. And I think, well, it gets a little bit confusing with who exactly is the us at this point. When Paul says this, is he including himself in the church? You know, then it would sort of be more like indirect because the perspective has changed. But if he's really trying to give the thing they were hearing, then it would be more like direct speech. Of course, haughty can do either. So
I didn't realize haughty was as a direct speech.
Yeah, it can at times. And then I always say translate it with a comma and quotation marks.
If I may, Luther, I believe, holds that Paul is including himself in this, because I've read the German in his little comments on this section in his German Bible. Now, whether that remains true or not, it's...
Yeah, I mean, historically, he couldn't, because he, of course, is the persecutor, but now, from the point of time and when he's saying this, that I'm sure he would slip easily into considering himself part of that. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1. Epeta. Now, I haven't been reading through this all with you, but you do have the epeta back in verse 18, which is sort of being used then to move the narrative along in larger sections. So here we're starting a new, it's a short break, and he's going to describe a new or a picture or scene for us. So simply then, not a real precise time connection, but the next thing he's going to tell us about, dia dekatessaron eton. I have dia with the genitive here, and we're used to thinking that in terms of through, like throughout a period of so much time. But here, and that doesn't really make sense in the sentence, and if you check the uses of dia with genitive, you can see that it's not that uncommon where it's indicating an interval of time after which something happens. Here, again, some would say that dia with the genitive or meta are really sort of equivalents and are only varied for style so that it doesn't get monotonous. Then you have dekatessaron, the Greek teens, you might say, look more like our numerals than our words. They put the 10 part in the front and then the units behind. So you get the deca, and then the tessaron part is declinable. Tessaris declines like a third declension adjective. So you get 10 plus 4, the 14 years. And of course, it's in the genitive again because of the dia. So then, or thereupon, after 14 years, Palin on Ebain, is Hierosaluma. I went up on Ebain, that's from Anabino, and again, you always go up to Jerusalem, no matter what direction you're coming from. It's probably the most common use of Anabino in the New Testament, although don't quote me on that. And Palin in this case is used for going back to a place you've been before. So after 14 years, I went back to Jerusalem. Okay, and then notice the construction in what follows. Meta Barnaba, with Barnabas, he's really given then as a sort of colleague or peer, sort of equal traveling companion. And then Sim Paralabon Kai Titon, the Sim Paralambano here is to take someone along with you. Both the sun and the para go together. Bedag suggests this is quasi-bureaucratic language of taking along an assistant or an adjunct, some sort of helper for you. So the Kai here would be in the sense of also, so taking along Titus as well, or also taking Titus along, suggests that Paul and Barnabas are the two main travelers here, delegates. Titus is accompanying them. Okay. Then to explain again, why is he coming? Remember, the point of all this, he's not going because of a summons from Jerusalem, but then in verse 2 you see, on Ebain de Kata Apokalypsen. And here the de is to, I think, show the clarification. But of course, or I went up according to a revelation. And at this point, Bedag as well says the meanings of according to or because of almost merge. He obviously is doing things in line with the revelation, the instructions he received, and he's doing it because God told him to or showed him that this is what he needed to do. So both things are really expressed here as at the same time, the cause and then the manner of his going. What follows probably explains that even further, not just this is what happened, but this was why he went up there and in fact was instructed to go. Kai anathemein autois. Anytime you have a weird verb with a theta in it, you just look for some form of tithemi, right? So it proves, the stem pretty much becomes just that. This is the aorist indicative middle for anatithemi, first person singular. And it's nice to have these narrative sections where you can sort of predict the person of the verbs just from the context. In the active form, anatithemi means to ascribe something to someone, but in the middle it means to sort of lay something out before someone else for their consideration. So Paul, again, is not here looking for permission, but he's looking for, what we say, confirmation. So I laid out before them, or presented for them, ta euangelion, the gospel, ha keruso, en tois ethnesin, the gospel which I... here, of course, knowing the main verb is aorist, we would put the present back into like an imperfect, which I was proclaiming among the Gentiles or the nations. So I laid all that out for them, really for their consideration, with the sense that they can see then what I'm doing and respond to it. Kat idion de, tois dokuzin. Kat edion is an idiom you've probably come across before. You see it in the Gospels when Jesus takes his disciples aside privately to teach them or pray with them. I found a reference in Weiner, an old, I think it's 19th century grammar, where he says, many of these adverbial expressions arose from an ellipsis of a word like hadas or kora, and he says that's what kat idion also came from. But you can no longer really guess their origin, because the idea of place is pretty much dropped out, but you can see originally to a place of our own, it's that kind of an idea. So privately, in the sense that no one else is in the room, so to speak. So privately, tois dokuzin. This is from dokeo, and we think of it as meaning to seem, but here it's more in the sense of seeming to be something, or that other people regard you as something, appearing to be influential and so on. And so that this is the active participle in the present. Those who seem to be. It's a sort of shorthand for saying influential people. The ones regarded as leaders, or these are the ones you want to speak with. But of course, the word there doesn't necessarily say what Paul's opinion of them is, but they were regarded as leaders of the group by the group itself. Okay, and then may pos. Pos is an enclitical particle of sort of usually manner, somehow, you know, in some way, but when it's made negative with may, then it takes on that idea of lest. You want to do something so that this doesn't arise in any way, so that you're in a sense trying to prevent something from happening, or confirm that it's not happening. So may posts Ace Kenon, from Kenos. You recognize the idea of emptiness there, but to here it's empty of purpose or result. So Ace Kenon is a way to say in vain. And then notice the verbs here. Lest in vain treko is the present, indicative active. I am running. A edramon is simply the second aorist of the same verb system. So remember, that's an irregular one. So it's lest I am running or had run in vain. So Paul is concerned both about his sort of past work, what he's done already in proclaiming this gospel, and the fact that he's continuing to do that. He wants to make sure that these are both serving God's purposes. Okay, any questions so far? Okay, verse 3. However, or but, ude titos, hos sun emoi, but not even, or however, not even, well, Titus, the one with me, that is the one who he introduced as accompanying him, Helene own, that's the word for a Greek person, and own, the participle from Amy, present active. Here I think we can see concessive force to that participle, so you have the ude titos, not even Titus, even though he was Greek, enan kaste perit me phenai. Enan kaste is from anankazo, See, the first alpha changes to the eta because it's aorist. And then you have the theta, eta ending of the passive that you would expect in the aorist passive there. And the zeta of the present indicative, you know, when it goes to aorist, switches to a sigma. So you get the cos the. Okay, that means to compel someone to do something. It can mean physical restraint from the outside, or it can mean inner compulsion by argument or force that way. And it's usually, of course, followed by an infinitive. And here the infinitive is from peritemno. And here, again, it's an aorist passive infinitive. The epsilon from the present stem drops out in the aorist passive. And so, you recognize it from context, but when you go to look it up, you have to try to keep that in mind. And that, of course, means to circumcise here in the passive, to be circumcised. So not even Titus, even though he was Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Let's see, I think we've got... should we go another minute? We have time for one more verse. Okay. Now there is somehow a kind of a break here because you start with dia detus pare sactus. And it seems like what's this describing? Longnecker suggests there's an ellipsis here of something like all this happened on account of or because of. And that seems to be, in keeping with Paul's style of sort of thinking faster than he can speak or his secretary can write. So, yes, but on account of the pseud adelphus, that one's easy enough to see, false brothers, those who pretend to be fellow believers, but... whose claim, Bedag says, is belied by their conduct. That's why they prove to be false. The word in front of it looks, at least to me at first glance, it looked really mysterious, almost like it wasn't even a Greek word. But it it is an adjective, paraes octos, adjective in two endings then with the masculine and feminine sharing the same endings. It's a little bit easier to see it if you trace it back to the verb that it comes from, which is par eis ago. If you divide it in those three syllables, then it means to introduce something, but sort of along the side. We'll see the same sort of double prefix in the verb that follows, but here it's the idea of they sneaked in or sort of secretly entered, secretly were introduced into the meeting. But on account of then the false brothers who sneaked in, hoitenes, that is they, the ones who were like this, of this quality, par ace aelphon, so you have the par ace erchemai, and there you can sort of see the idea of coming into something alongside. We might say slipping in by the side door. And there too it has this idea of sneaking in, trying to enter without being noticed, and usually for bad motives. And here Paul gives the motive with the infinitive kata skopesai, from kata skopeo, to spy out, or... Here I think the other gloss, lie in wait for, almost makes better sense. I think they're not just trying to get information, they're actually trying to do damage or sabotage something. So to spy out, to lie in wait for, tain eleutherion haemon, our freedom, hain, again, relative pronoun, pointing back to eleutherion. So our freedom, the freedom which echomen, we have en Christo Jesu, in Christ Jesus. Now the hina, then goes back to the kata skopesai, giving the purpose of this sneaking in to spy out or lie in wait. So it's not the purpose for us having the freedom, but their purpose in doing these things. Hina hemas kata du losu sen. In order that they might kata du lao, means to put someone back in slavery, to enslave, maybe not back in, but to put someone in a condition of slavery, enslave them, reduce them to slavery. Now here, you see that this is one of those, it's an Omicron contract. There is no difference in spelling between the future indicative and the aorist subjunctive. And there's some debate on which form we should take it to be. You normally would expect the subjunctive with hina. But it is true that in the New Testament, in several places, hina will be with the future indicative, sometimes even with present indicative. So the meaning is clear, and it's a case really where those two verb forms are overlapping quite a bit in their meaning anyway. So it's the hina shows it's clearly expressing purpose, and from their perspective then, hoping for this in the future, to realize this. Okay, well, I think we have to stop there. I've got to get to class, and I'm sure you have things to do too. But thank you for joining us.